with all the pollution there and talk of new technology metals and new technology itself, there's a lot. It seems to be a popular area for promotions and stuff these days. Any comments on, is it on your short list of commodity types globally at this point? You know, the lithium and the cobalt.
I know too much about specialty metals.
You do?
To ever get enthused about the potential of much more than perhaps tungsten. Mm. And I've written about it. I've talked about all these metals. You know, I have this ongoing commodity show with Kitco, and we've gone through the entire periodic table over the course of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And analyzed every element of periodic table, what's used for, where does it come from, can you make money on it in the junior resource sector as a flagship project. And basically with the specialty metals, dancers, no. You know, I went into a tungsten deal 3 or 4 years ago. The Chinese, because they, tungsten can stand alone as a small mine, and you can produce a final product, a saleable product, without bringing third parties.
Yep.
And I was convinced that tungsten was the only specialty metal I wanted to be involved in. I got involved in a really good company here, run by people who've had success in the tungsten business before. And then the price went from $420 a metric ton unit to somewhere in the low 200s today. And that company's still working. Its share price has been very disappointing. Mm. If anybody make it in the tungsten business, these guys can. Mm. They got a bunch of old tungsten mines in Portugal, and Portuguese produce significant amount of tungsten, and the guys involved with this company are part of the current large producing tungsten mine in Portugal.
Yeah.
They did the junior company that was then sold to the Japanese, so wow. They have a track record, but nah, cobalt, lithium, graphite, it's not something I choose to do.
Yeah.
Part of the problem in this business is the older you get and the longer you do this, the less you like, I think.
Yeah.
You learn lessons, some easily, some more in a hard way, but it's very difficult for me to like
your hand of war.
The electric metals, the specialty metals, the whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They used to call them critical metals.
Yeah.
They're specialty metals, which means they don't have very big markets.
Yes,
And they're generally controlled by cartels or oligopolies.
Yep.
Or monopolies.
Yep.
Sometimes one or two or three big deposits in the world.
Yeah.
Supply all the metal demand that's on a yearly basis.
No.
So everybody projects all these growing demands. Once again, they're projecting 5 years out,
yeah.
5, 10 years out on technologies that don't exist today or demand that's perceived to be coming. And go back and look at the rare earth element boom and the first lithium boom and the graphite boom, and they all are bubbles, really. The boomlets, as Rick Rule has now named them, they all fail at some point.
Mm.
Dumb.
So your hand to wallet reflex has gotten strained over the years?
I don't know if that's the case. You know, for the most part, the times I've gone into I had a very good track record in the rare earth elements, because we got in and we got out. We got in at the get-go. We picked the right four companies. All those four companies are the ones that ended up with New York Stock Exchange era /AMAX.market, whatever their market, but New York listings.
Yeah.
And now all those stocks which had multi-dollar ranges at some point that we went into for pennies, now trade for pennies again, if they trade at all. They all failed. Those four companies have failed. No longer listed in New York, no longer, for the most part, listed on the big board in Toronto, listed as juniors, rollback, whatever, taken over by other companies, and the projects still exist, but that demand that was supposed to skyrocket never happened.
Yeah, of course.
All the rare earths that we thought that were going to be restricted to China, or all they do is they allow the black market to take them to Vietnam, so yep. They still make it to the Western U.S. So anyway,
it's interesting.
It is what it is.
But it's interesting that you can have that success on something that's ultimately, you know, a failure.
Well, you just got to get in right at the right. You got to get in early.
Yeah.
You got to anticipate the bubble that's coming. You've got to get in with the right companies. It's not that hard for me historically to understand the companies with the right deposits in the right part of the world and pick those right companies. But you got to do it very early on. And if I don't get in early on that, I don't play.
Yeah.
So I never played the lithium bubble because I didn't get in early enough.
Yep. Well, and it's the fear of missing out again, right? And it's the greed and all this stuff. And for outsiders, for people who may not do this in the same way, I think sometimes they see the ultimate failure of a project like that or a company as a mark against you, and they say, oh, well, bad, you know, it's whatever angle they take. It's
well, so in the rare earth element game, my gosh, we got everybody in so at such low prices so early on. If they didn't take profits and get out of it, they only have themselves to blame, and they have their own greed to blame.
Yeah, and it's this thing about the situation changes. Right?
Yeah.
And if you're still holding on, like, getting attached to these things,
I mean, these juniors are made to be traded. None of them are long-term holds.
Yeah.
If you're looking, I know people that put junior explorers in their friggin' retirement accounts.
Yeah, you know? Isn't that
I don't understand that at all.
Classic. It always puzzles me when I hear that, too, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
It's, you know, definitely a need for investor education and stuff like that.
Well, and a lot, you know, historically a lot of what I try to do is educate my group of retail lay investors, and most of my subscribers, which now number about 6,400, are small retail guys.
And do you find that they're willing to hear the message you have to say?
Oh, they all hear the message.
But
it's not up to me to I tell them how to do it. I tell them what I do. I tell them what I buy, why I'm buying it.
Yeah.
We have a methodology for trading that tells them when they should sell. I don't tell them when they sell. I don't tell anybody when I sell.
Yeah.
That's my own personal portfolio, and I hold way more juniors than I ever write about.
Yeah.
But if they don't follow the trading methodology, they have only themselves to blame. You know, there's a lot of really smart people in this business who learn, and we all learn by our mistakes. We all make mistakes in this business. I continually make mistakes with buying stocks at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But there are a subset of these people that never learn, and they should just take their money and go do something else. But it's not for me to tell them that.
Yeah. There's being loud and there's being heard, right? There's something there too.
Yeah.
And you want to you want to give that information to those people that are going to listen and are going to hear you.
Well, for anybody that's ever attended one of my workshops or speaking events, they know I talk loud, so yeah. I have a very loud voice.
Well, you've been heard. My experience, there's been some times where I've heard you, too. Some of the things you've said, last time we were chatting there about the trading stuff, and some of the things you had to say about trading them, I was like, yeah, that's helpful to hear. Because they all want to say, company builder, long haul, this, and,
Everybody has a story. Everybody on the floor at the Cambridge House, and there were something like 200 companies, and they all have a story to tell.
Yeah.
But ultimately, maybe one out of 20 will be successfully execute their strategy and do an exit that rewards their shareholders. So
might be generous.
I saw a really interesting saying, and we tweeted it a month or so ago, and it said something like, I am only responsible for what I say. I am not responsible for what you understand. I thought that was good. So I can say it if people don't listen, or they, and generally it's not listening close enough. Listening is one of the most useful characteristics.
Yep.
Being a good listener is one of the most valuable things you can do. Anyway, I say what I say. It's up to people to listen and understand.
I'm with you. At the conferences, I think that's about all I try and do. Just hang around, listen. Ends up with me just standing there awkwardly sometimes, but that's, you don't want to bark. You don't want to eavesdrop, right? It's that line of like, when is it listening and when is it being?
Right.
Well, Mickey.
Peter,
thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure once again. Cheers. Thanks for inviting me.
Yep, pleasure to chat with you here. Look forward to another time, maybe talk about Mawson Resources or some of the other companies. I don't know if you want to.
Sure, absolutely.
Happy
Always
to.
Ready to do something like that. So
great.